What's the difference between a professional and a recreational ball player? Baseball, football. Oh, very good. Okay. What I really want you to think, I was going to get my whiteboard out and write these down, so if you could just imagine, I want to put professional and recreational. We'll put professional over here on your left and on your right, the recreational player. So I think Pat said the professional gets paid. And the recreational player does not get paid. Really good. All right. Somebody else. There are a lot of differences. The professional works at the finer details of the game. The recreational. Okay, so an example of that might be if we were playing football and someone had the position of a professional receiver learns routes, learns moves. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ability that he has to develop, learn how to catch the ball, gaining yardage after the catch, keeping in bounds. This guy just runs out and starts shouting, throw it to me. Okay, Diane?
A professional gets recognition and a recreational doesn't care whether it gets recognition.
A professional is recognized. A professional is recognized. The recreational player, he doesn't, but he doesn't really care much. Somebody else? Karim.
The recreational guy does it like for passion. Nobody's telling him to do it. Well, the professional, I mean, he's a professional, he's getting paid and he likes it, but the other one is not getting anything out of it but just for love of sport, I guess.
So could we say the recreational player is playing for fun, the professional player has a responsibility. There's a certain level of pressure, responsibility. He may love what he's doing, but in addition to loving it, it's not just fun. He has to perform. This guy, he'll play until he gets the cheeseburgers and Coke and all just create too much pressure and he quits and sits down for a while. Laura?
So they have different motivations.
Different motivations. Describe for me a little bit of the difference between the professional and the recreational player in terms of motivation.
Well, you go back to one wants to be professional and to make a good name for himself, to be well known.
Okay.
And then the other one is doing it out of love for the game and for wanting to probably teach the others, show the others example.
Could we say the motivation, both the recreational player and the professional player have motivation, but there's a big, huge difference between the level of motivation. The professional is so motivated that it's his career. He puts himself through everything that's necessary to be. This guy may enjoy it, but not enough to make him do any more than just occasionally play. Okay, good. Somebody else, Chris?
Well, a professional may not necessarily have any more talent than the recreational player, but he's in an association. He's in an association with other professionals that's recognized generally by society as being an association of professionals. So they identify. Like a league.
Of course, it's true. But could we say, just to think this through a little bit, in terms of talent, Most of those guys that play in the NFL have got infinitely more talent than the recreational player. But the difference might be that they once, the professional ones, did not have any more native talent than a lot of those other guys, but they developed. You're not going to be a Sunday tag football player, recreation player, and walk into an NFL camp and get signed. So there's a huge difference in talent, but native talent that they started out with, maybe we can say that the professional and the recreational may have started with the same level of native skills and abilities, but the professional developed that talent, and he is in a league and association, while the other one's going back to his job on Monday morning.
But there are cases where there could be amateurs out there who just decided they didn't want to be a professional, but they do have talent, skills, and the ability to play at that level.
Okay, well, that's another thing, though. That's a whole other item, and that's a good one, which is there may be amateurs that have the potential. But what's the difference between that person with the potential who's not playing and the person who is the professional? The difference is he doesn't want to be a professional. So the professional also has a certain level of want to that puts him in that position. Kenny?
Also, the professional is there. He's made it to where he wants to be. He can't go any higher. That's it. From there, it's downhill, retire, get out, booted out, to where the recreational person still has that decision, what they want to do. Do they want to do it for recreation, or do they want to make a goal out of it?
Okay. Okay. I like that. Could I say that the difference between the amateur recreational ball player and the professional is that the professional has made it. Now, he may become better, or he may go into the Hall of Fame, but he is in the NBA or he is in the National Baseball League. There's not something above that. He's at the top. He's there. While the recreational player may spend his whole life sitting around thinking, dreaming, talking, and may make a decision to enter, there's still somewhere for the amateur to go. There's a step up the amateur or the recreational player can make and that he hasn't made. That is good. Let's remember that. Pat? Most definitely. The professional endures much of a level of pain and time and practice, energy to be good enough to be professional. Whereas the other guy, he's not putting that level of training in. That's good. All right. Anybody else got any other thoughts? Karim?
Discipline. The professional has to be disciplined to be able to reach his goal.
Absolutely. Everybody gets tired. Everyone gets hurt. Everybody has mental moments where you want to. But the professional pushes himself or herself beyond that and disciplines themselves because they have to do it, whereas the recreational person says, why am I knocking myself out? It's just a game to play at a picnic on Sunday. Anybody else? Professional versus recreational player.
The professional has like a team of people that are also pushing him, and the coach and teammates that are just as dedicated as he is. So some
okay. Once you go professional, and this goes back to what Chris says, you are you are now working with a group that has a certain esprit de corps and a little French lingo there. And they all have made the same grade and level of commitment you have. Now there's, even among professionals, there's a wide range of talent, skills, and even effort. But, you know, between the lowest professional and the highest professional, there's a range in there that's an esprit de corps, and everyone's pushing everyone, and they've all made the same level of sacrifice and so forth to a certain degree. Relative to that over here, the recreational player, he is hanging out with, there may be his, you know, 67-year-old uncle, maybe, you know, playing guard. You know, his 13-year-old kid may be, you know, running back. His wife may be, you know, playing. He's got people all over the place. It's just for fun. Doesn't really matter. There's not a, you know, great deal of. Anybody else got a burning comparison they want to throw in that has not been mentioned in some form? Thank you. I was going to say there. I will repeat that. That is good. There's a number of very, very important points that are the differences between a professional and a recreational player, and that's one of them. The professional player has a responsibility, being on a team, to play for the honor and the money, the glory and the honor of that team. He wears the jersey of a team. There's something beyond his own love for the game. He is not like the Sunday recreational player. And when a church has a picnic and a bunch of people get out there and play ball, there's no money involved. There's no honor or glory involved in the name of that particular team. And there's all kinds of stuff that's on the table every given Sunday when the football game's played, or if a baseball team or a hockey team takes the ice. So there is a whole context of differences between the two. It really, when you think about it, it's a completely different life. They're both playing the game, but one is living a totally different life. And I'd like to say that the professional player develops throughout his career a record. And the recreational player, his performance is inconsequential. I choose that word deliberately. It's inconsequential. He's just playing in the moment for the fun that afternoon. Whereas the professional player, one day, hopefully he'll retire. Hopefully he won't be kicked off the team. You know, they kick people off teams if they don't perform. Because there's always 100 guys that would take your place in a heartbeat on that team. So hopefully he'll retire and get a nice pension for all the bumps and bruises he's had to put up with. The professional player must develop a record of successes, of successful plays. He must work to make his team a winning team. He must stand out as a player that helped that team. He has to develop a record. With the recreational player, he may really love the game, but it's not going to mean anything when the game's over. He's just going to go back, grab another chicken leg, go home, take a nap. He's going to go to work the next day. It doesn't mean anything. It's inconsequential. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very important. You've got to think about this. You guys mentioned that the professional trains continuously. Nobody is playing out there just for fun and recreation is actually training like that at that kind of level. The first thing Pat said, I think, is very important. The professional player gets paid. They get paid. They expect a paycheck because they're living for this thing. And they're living for the success of a team. It's a business. They're living for the success. There is an objective. Listen, when you're just playing football, scrub football in a neighborhood somewhere, there's no objective. Everyone's just doing it for fun. That's fine. But when you play professional ball, there's an objective. There are a lot of people that are not on that field playing that depend on you playing and doing well and making money. So you get paid for what you do. This guy, he plays whether he feels like it or not. He plays, now listen to me, the professional plays when and where the game is being played. The recreational player plays whenever he feels like it. I'll sit this one out. I don't care. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're a pro player, you do not have a choice. You do not have a choice. When and where the game's being played, you will be there. You will be suited up and you will play. Unless you're injured and cannot play. You understand? There are big differences between the professional and the recreational player. And I think that a lot of you said this in different ways. I would just say that the professional must win. The recreational player, whether he wins or loses, he's having fun. Again, if you're just a recreational player and that's your goal, that's fine. But if you're a professional player, you'll be fired Monday morning if you have that kind of attitude. You cannot have the attitude, this is just inconsequential, it really doesn't matter, and I'm just doing it for the fun. If you're doing it for the fun, they'll send you home. So, you guys see the difference between the professional and the recreational? Good. Because I want to tell you tonight, I've got some preaching and teaching I want to do in the coming weeks. And I wanted to throw a couple of concepts out at you tonight in advance of some of the things that I'd like to talk about that I think that we as a church that we're heading in that direction. We're kind of there and we're heading there, and I'm excited about it. And one of them is the fact that the Christian life is professional, not recreational. The Christian life is a profession, it's not a recreation. If you think about it, our faith, it's a professional faith. It's not a hobby. To believe God for healing, for the raising of the dead, for salvation of souls, for praying in the lost, for everything that we do as a Christian, everything is meant to be done by professionals. By professionals, not by hobbyists, not by recreational Christians. Jesus called us to be pros. He didn't call us to be hobbyists. He didn't call anybody to take up their cross. The minute you touch the cross, you're a professional. Do you understand? Everything we've said applies. I didn't come up here to talk about sports tonight, but I had to find some way to get across to you how God looks at our walk and how He sees us. He sees you as a pro. You are a professional. And if He is treating you as a professional and you're thinking as a hobbyist, there's going to be some communication problems between the Lord and me. If I'm thinking and acting and living like a recreational Christian and God's saying, nobody is a recreational Christian follows me. I only have professional people around me. And I don't know, I read the gospel and they were all professionals. If Jesus called them, they were professional. You take up your cross, you're professional. So I think everything about the difference between the professional and the hobbyist or the recreational player has to do with Christianity. Our faith is a professional game. It is a professional practice. It is not a hobby. It's not inconsequential. We're expected to be paid. We're told to train. We are playing for a much bigger purpose than the fact that we enjoy it or feel like it. We don't come together. Chris was the first one to mention the league, the team. We do not come together, for example, on a Sunday morning and praise God if we feel like it, or sit out and just eat chicken and watch everybody else praise the Lord. If we meet as the body and the Lord says, I want you to prophesy, I want you to give a message in tongues, and I want you to interpret, and I want, where is the team when the head is ready to play? When God is wanting to move, where are the players? If we see ourselves simply as recreational Christians, the body is not going to be there when we have to take the field and beat the devil or demonstrate that the Lord's victorious. I assure you that the devil's recruiting professionals. And I hear Christians complain about the fact that they've met professional players for the devil all the time. And so where's the Lord's pro players? Amen. Hallelujah. I think one of the really worst things that we have ever allowed the devil to do to the body of Christ is to create this clergy-laity attitude. The clergy are the professionals, and the non-paid staff or the laity, they are the recreational people, or they are the objects of the professional's work. Do you know that that's the mentality in church? Is that people like me are the professionals and you guys are the object of my work. But the reality is that from heaven's perspective, we are the body of Christ. I may be a janitor, chief bottle washer, servant, putting food on the table, whatever. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, we are professionals. Your faith is not recreational. It's a pro faith. Otherwise, we'd have two Bibles. We'd have a Bible written for the professional and a Bible written for the recreational player. Now, the one we have is obviously the pro Bible. Somebody made a big mistake and has been given Christians for 2,000 years the professional's Bible, because it says things like, and I quote, 2 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. Now he's talking about professionals. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. You see, that's in the pro Bible. That's in the professional's Bible. That's written assuming that every Christian who reads it is to think of himself as a professional. I keep my body fit and under training so that it'll do what it's supposed to do. That's not written to the recreational Christian. The recreational Christian can load up on potato salad, chips, root beer, and a couple of chicken legs, and then go out there, catch a pass or two, and then go back and flop in the lawn chair and catch his breath and watch the game from a safe sideline. But the pro player has no such luxury. In fact, he's got coaches ordering him exactly what to do, and his heart and mind is in agreement with the coach. He can't wait to get out there and do it. He is going to get a paycheck, but it's not just because he showed up. It's because he is a professional, and everything he does is done to be excellent, and he knows that if he doesn't do it, there's 100 guys lined up ready to take his place. There's pressure involved in being a professional. There is. And the true professional keeps a certain level of pressure on himself or on herself. They live that way. So Christianity is a life for professionals. It's not a life for recreationals. It's a life for professionals, isn't it? Think about it. How well have you done as a recreational Christian? how well have you done as a professional Christian? When you have the attitude of a professional Christian, you do real well. Even you may not be doing your absolute best, but you have the mentality of a professional. And that's what I'm talking about. See, I'm not talking about you being perfect, and I'm not talking about between the lowest performance level of a professional and the highest bar set by a professional, there's a lot of distance for improvement. But everybody between here and here is a professional. We're all professionals here. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not talking about you feeling ashamed because you're at this level. I'm talking about getting in the game. I'm talking about coming out of the life of recreation and entering the life of professional Christianity. Once you enter the life of professional Christianity, you may need, you know, you may be, you're on the team, but you may be surrounded by people that are just working circles around you. It's all right. You're a professional. You're on the team. There is an esprit de corps. There's a unity of purpose. There is a camaraderie that we all share. We're all professionals. And our faith is not a hobby. You see, you get a body of people, you get a church together where everybody starts thinking of themselves as a professional follower of Jesus and not a recreational follower of Jesus, look out. They will take the field when and where the Lord puts them, and things will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody getting this? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Chris?
Well, the professional is required to come under contract. And if they do come under contract, they're expected to abide by the terms of the agreement in that contract. If they violate the terms of that agreement, they break the contract they have, and they're no longer under that contract. They're no longer considered part of that league, part of that association. In the same way, I believe that God the Father made a contract with Jesus, his son. He expected his son Jesus to abide by that, the terms of the agreement of that contract, which he did. And if we are associated with Jesus, if we see ourselves as being, as you were preaching a while back about, locked into him as being part of that tree, mm-hmm. that line, then we should be expect ourselves to keep the terms of the agreement as much as Jesus kept it.
It's excellent.
To keep that contract together.
That is true. We are bound by a contract. And that's excellent. Jesus said, in fact, in John 15, which is where we took the teaching of the vine from, right after he spoke about the vine, he said, I have ordained you to bear fruit. And if you do whatever I tell you to do, then you love me and my words abide in you. And, you know, there was that bringing of the contract in. Even though Jesus spoke about love and follow me out of love, there was all of that was encased in a contractual thing called a covenant. It's very good. When we think of ourselves as professional Christians, I'm going to just touch on a few thoughts tonight and kind of get your responses. I'm not going to drill down into them, but I want to throw a few ideas out to you as a professional Christian. The Christian life is a victory. It's not a belief. The professional does not think of faith as a belief. They think of faith as a victory. I want you to just think about this. The professional Christian, their whole view of the game, call it the faith. We often talk about the faith. Oh, she's a person of faith, or he's a man of faith, or we talk about the Christian faith. For the professional Christian, when they think about faith, faith is a victory. It's not a belief. The recreational person, like, remember, he gets up and plays a game, doesn't matter whether he wins. But the professional, it's all about winning. The professional hates defeat, hates loss. If they lose a battle, they can't wait to get back on the field and recapture the victory. It's all about winning. This person, they're just happy. They got out, threw the ball a little bit, had fun, went home. There's no consequence. In fact, the recreational person, their life is really centered somewhere else. This is something they do for recreation. They go to church for recreation. They read their Bible occasionally. They throw up a prayer every once in a while. How old a couple of us are getting together? We're going to go do something spiritual. You know, it's inconsequential. It really doesn't matter. Their life is seated somewhere else outside of faith. But for the professional, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And I would quote to you 1 John 5 and 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You see, that's the mind of a professional. Faith is a victory. And so I want to talk for a few moments about the thought of victory. The professional Christian does not ever allow defeat in their life. For the professional Christian, there can be no defeat. They're a saved man or a saved woman, which means everything about me is victorious. I may get knocked down, but I get back up again. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says we're persecuted, cast down, but we're not destroyed. No matter how bad the Apostle Paul took a hit, he had a comeback for everything. I bounce back. I get back up. I'm not defeated. I may have been knocked down, but I'm ultimately victorious. If you really study Paul's writings, for him, faith was a triumph 100% of the time. He did not see himself as leaving this world and leaving some of himself behind in the mouth of the devil. For him, morally, physically, and in every way, he was going to rebound and he was going to win. Faith is a victory. In the mind of the professional Christian, in the mind of the Christian who's a professional, that man, that woman does not tolerate any defeat in any area of their life. Now, I want you to see if you can handle this tolerate this thinking. The Christian who is a professional, for them, victory over Satan is not a series of incremental accomplishments, but it instead is a singular series It is a singular, seamless, unibody construction given to us through our fellowship with Jesus. The recreational Christian sees victory as incremental accomplishments that can be compartmentalized in areas of their life. And you know when you're talking to a recreational Christian or a professional Christian who's fallen down momentarily and is thinking like an amateur, because they say things like, I have victory in this area of my life, but I don't have victory in this area of my life. But the true professional Christian knows that that is a spiritual impossibility. You either have victory or you don't. Now, I told you I was going to challenge you with something tonight, and that's it. You either have victory or you don't have victory. When Jesus died on the cross, it was an all or nothing proposition. His victory is singular. It's unibody in design. It is seamless. It cannot be compartmentalized. There is no such thing as mental victory, but physical defeat. There is just victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. There is no such thing as chopping faith up into different little compartments and saying, well, you know, I've got this much victory in this area, but I'm defeated in that area. If somebody were to give you a 2-carat diamond brooch of some type or a cross or something valuable, would you put it on a broken chain and wear it around your neck? Of course you wouldn't. You see, faith is like a chain. No matter how valuable the gold that that chain is made out of, no matter how strong the links bound together, if it's got one break in it, it stays in the drawer and it's useless. It is of no value. Nobody would wear a chain with a break in it. Why? Because you can't. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So, quite frankly, you could have a chain of lesser value, but if it's unbroken, it's more valuable than the one that costs 1,000 times more. It'll hold that pendant. And the Bible talks about the Lord has bound us as a signet or upon a chain on Him. He puts us like an ornament upon Him. So even in the Bible, the Lord is trying to tell us that the Christian life is a singular, seamless, unibody construction. No Christian was ever meant to take the thought that our life could be chopped up and segmented and we can have victory in one area but defeat in the other. And let me make it very practical for you. Just think with me about this. We're not talking about you being perfect. We're talking about you being professional. When you are professional, you do not tolerate a break in the chain. Now, you may not be perfect, and there may be weakness, but you don't tolerate the devil walking into your life on any level. The professional Christian, like the professional soldier, never thinks, well, we can let a couple of the enemy get through. We just can't let them all get through. You have to defeat everything, or you're not victorious. How much victory does it take to be an overcomer? To have the joy of being an overcomer, how much victory does it take? It takes all of it. The church today, right here in our nation, if we are going to arise and meet the challenge that faces us in our hour, we are going to have to recapture the truth that it takes all the victory. We cannot be the body of Christ that's going to be successful in this hour with a half-baked, amateur, recreational attitude about Christianity. It's not going to work because we are called to be overcomers. And overcoming is exactly what I read there in 1 John. This is the victory that overcomes the world. You either overcome the world or you are overcome by the world. Look, if you're going to church, reading your Bible, praying, but in your life, the devil has eaten your lunch with sin and you're tolerating it. Now there's the key. The professional doesn't tolerate it. He gets in there, fights the fight. He may have a battle on his hands, but he's fighting the fight. He's not putting up with it. The recreational person tolerates it. He just says, well, I've got this big problem with lust, or I've got this problem with lying, or I've got this problem where I'm just not interested in pursuing the things of God, but I want to go to church. I don't want to stop going to church. You know, I'll read my Bible once in a while. You know, the recreational person puts up with compromise. That person does not have the joy of being an overcomer. They do not know the joy of the Lord. They don't walk in the joy of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, nobody who lives an amateur life of faith knows what the joy of the Lord is. They can't possibly know what it is. They may remember times where they had a little feeling of it. They may remember times when they did walk in it, but they're not having it until they go back and get professionally in the game. There is no, let me say it to you like this, potential is no substitute for wholeness, and victory is wholeness. Victory is completeness. The professional is whole. The amateur is incomplete because for them, winning is not a consequence. For the professional, winning is being victorious is everything. So Ephesians 6 and 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done how much? Having done 80%. If you are an 80% Christian, you're an amateur. And that's not a put down. I'm not putting it down. I'm just simply telling you, you will not have the joy of the Lord. You will not know the joy of being an overcomer. Now, there are plenty of people who are overcomers that have trials. Being an overcomer is not being someone who's free of trials. And there are plenty of people who are overcomers that have imperfections. Being an overcomer doesn't mean you're perfect. Being an overcomer doesn't mean you don't have attacks from the enemy. Being an overcomer doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. The professional makes plenty of mistakes, but he doesn't settle for any of them. That's the difference. The amateur puts up with a compromised life because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The amateur Christian puts up with the devil running half of their life and letting the other half of the life be Christianized because it doesn't matter. Their heart is somewhere else. They get their joy, they get their fulfillment, they get their fun, they get their sense of significance from other areas in this life and in this world, not from the Father. But the professional looks only to Jesus and will never be happy with anything other than the Lord's complete and total well done. And the Lord is not going to wait until you've died and gone to heaven to say well done. He will look at you on a Tuesday morning when you've made some of your biggest mistakes, but you keep getting up and saying, I am a professional and I'm not going to let the devil push me around. The Lord's well done, good and faithful servant. We are professional, cross-bearing, faith-operating followers of Jesus Christ. You are God's professional soldiers in the battle of life. You are not amateurs. And if you are not professionals, who are the professionals? The Lord does pay for mercenaries to take up their cross, to take up their sword, to follow Him. Hallelujah. He paid everything. He gives everything. He gives the Spirit. He gives His Word. He gives His provision. He gives His blessing. We eat well, live well. We're supplied well. We are well equipped. We've got the best of the best. If you thought about this in military terms, the Lord has made provision to put the best army on the field. The devil has nothing to compare with it. The only way this army can be defeated is that if the people that put on the uniform are just weekend warriors and thinking of themselves as amateurs. That's the only way we can be defeated. You must have the mind of a professional. Praise the Lord. Kenny?
Jesus
said in Matthew, in Mark 28, all, there's none left over. He said all power has been given to
me, all of it.
The devil doesn't have any more. I took it from him. It's been stripped from him. He is the one now saying, I am naked. You know, when he said all power has been given unto me, in heaven and on earth, the moment he said in Mark 28, go, he slipped that ring on your finger already. Go lay hands on the sick. Go raise the dead. Pray. Do this. Do everything that you have seen me do. All that you have seen me do, you'll be able to do, because I go to the Father and you'll do greater things. But the ring is already on our finger, and this is what you're saying tonight. We haven't even made it to the Super Bowl, but we're more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
That's why we're more than conquerors.
We're playing in a different whole field than what they play in.
Yeah.
But we're already victorious.
If you think about this analogy of the professional versus the recreational person, and then start reading your Bible. Just let what I've shared with you tonight just start sinking in. It's a revolutionary thought. It will start changing. And it'll start changing the way you think about and the way you negotiate your own life. And you ask yourself the question, am I behaving like a professional? Am I behaving like an amateur? Am I behaving like a professional? Am I behaving like recreational? Remember the biggest difference, and I think Chris said something that kind of started that discussion, and then several people picked it up, mentioned it. A lot of times, the difference between the professional and the amateur isn't even so much that the professional's just born with, you know, an excessive amount of skills and talents, and he obviously or she obviously can do nothing but be a professional. The difference was made way back in their youth where they stepped on that path and they said, this is what I want to give my life to. This is what I want to do. And they did not deviate from that path. Most professionals did not wake up at 27 years old and say, well, I started a company and I've done a few things. I think I'll be a professional quarterback. Most professionals began somewhere at the time of their life when their vision was forming, their youth, and they locked on and they just have not deviated. Now, the analogy is not supposed to say to you that the professional Christian has to start in their youth. What that analogy means is in the tender part of your life where you are selecting a career, selecting a purpose for your life. That is where the most professionals find their roots. Most people become professionals because in the tender part of their life, what excited them, that's what they devoted themselves to. And so we got born again, and that was the tender part of our life. And I really believe that if Christians today could hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in Revelation chapter 2, for example, to the church of Ephesus, go back to your first love. I think that Jesus the coach was talking like a coach. There were seven teams there. Philadelphia, Pergamum, Sardis, Thyatira. And when he spoke to Ephesus, he said, you started out as professionals, but you've let yourself turn into a bunch of amateurs. You're now just playing every once in a while at picnics. You're no longer thinking and acting like professionals. Get back in the game. Hallelujah. And I just think if we would let the Lord talk to us like that, the one thing, I'll close with this, that to me is outstanding about the professional is that their mentality, and that's what Laura was saying when she said the motivation. That is really, it's all right there, is that the professional looks at the reason why they do everything with a completely different orientation. Their motivation is, I cannot permit the devil to have any area over my life. Why is it that most Christians think it's okay to let the devil defeat them in some areas because they see themselves as amateurs and not professionals. Pat?
I think what you're saying is we need to think like a professional.
I am most definitely saying that we have to think like a professional, because the thought of an amateur Christian is an anomaly. It's an anomaly. It doesn't exist in the Bible. Not in the Lord's preaching. There's nowhere where you read in the scriptures where you can see the Lord said there's going to be professional followers of Jesus and then there's going to be recreational. Perhaps I should, when I use the word amateur, I want you to think of recreational. Jesus warned, if you try to be recreational, you're probably not going to make it. The devil's going to pick you off. But if you're professional, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to, you know, never falter. But you must be professional or you will let the devil run over you. The professional will not tolerate the devil running over them. Okay, let's close our Bible and stand up.